Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Tonight, I'm going to be talking with Kenny, who has a variety of sleep paralysis experiences, some involving entities. It may or may not be the same entity that he's experienced over time. There's one experience in particular that's really interesting that he describes his consciousness expanding to that of the house and to the entity which had entered the house and pinging back and forth between the house and the entity and then his own consciousness. Really, really interesting, and it gets pretty intense. Before I get to Kenny, I'd like to thank our patrons. Thank you, patrons. Thank you for everything you do. We could not do Strange Familiars without your help. If you like the content we make on Strange Familiars and you'd like to hear more, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Our patrons get ad-free versions of the weekly episodes, plus 2 full extra episodes of Strange Familiars every month, exclusive to our patrons. Again, if you want to check it out, you can go to Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All right, let's go ahead and hear my talk with Kenny. All right, tonight we're talking with Kenny, who has some experiences that seem to center, for the most part, around sleep paralysis, which is something that comes up constantly on the show and something I'm very interested in. How are you doing tonight, Kenny?
Oh, very well. How are you doing?
Doing good. So when did this sleep paralysis stuff start for you? At what age?
Oh, I would say around, I want to say like around 11.
Oh, really? See, I've talked to some people that started that young for and I feel so lucky that it didn't start for me till I was in college, because I was mentally more able to handle it, I think.
Yeah.
I think that would have been really scary at that age.
Yeah, it was definitely, those early experiences. I don't remember much of those ones, but yeah, they were, you just don't know what's going on. You have no frame of reference for what's happening. Don't know if it's a dream or what, but mm-hmm. Now it's definitely... Yeah, I haven't really heard of anyone experiencing it at a young age. Oh, actually, no, I take that back. I think you've had many guests that have spoken about that.
A handful. For most people, it tends to start late teens. But I've had a few where it started younger. Some where it started like 5 years old, and I was just like, wow, how do you deal with that? Like,
yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, it was rough when I was 18, 19, whenever it started for me. Mm. I can't imagine being that much younger. Wow. So...
did you have a pretty normal time or when this started, like a pretty normal childhood around the time this started?
No, I had a pretty rocky childhood actually. So I don't know if that was like, if there was any like trauma induced sleep paralysis, but,
yeah, I don't know if there's a correlation there or not.
Don't know. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a few experiences I had when I was younger, pre the sleep paralysis. I mean, I could go into that first.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Why don't we take things chronologically?
Sounds good. All right. One of my earliest memories of an experience with something supernatural or unexplainable was, I think I was about 5 or 6, and we had a room in the back of our house that was being renovated so that myself and my 2 brothers could move in. It's a very small room, and there's 1 window in the room. And I just have a very vivid memory of the room's completely empty because they were like painting the walls and putting new carpet in. And there was just the single light coming from the ceiling. And it was at night, and there wasn't a curtain on the window. And I remember walking into the room and just looking at the window and seeing, you know, the outside, which is black, you know, can't see outside. And I remember walking all the way up to the window and pressing my face to the glass, and these 2 yellow eyes opened up like right in front of me. And I remember feeling, and this feeling is kind of a reoccurring theme in my experiences, where it felt like the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard was like resonating through my body. And feeling like completely exposed on top of that. And that, I don't recall if anyone was in the room with me, or, you know, I don't even remember if I told my parents or siblings about it at the time, but it's so far back in my memory, you know, who's to say if it was a dream or not, but I recall it being very real.
Yeah. So this was on the outside, on the other side of the glass.
Correct. Yes.
And do you remember how high up that window was from the ground?
So that window, actually, if you were to, let's see, from the base of the window to the ground, it was like 1/2 foot, because that back room was set a little into the ground. Mm-hmm. When I moved into that room in my later teenage years, it was an easy room to sneak out of, you know, through that window. I didn't have to, you know, it was just literally kind of squatting out the window and taking off. So,
valuable commodity for a teenager.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the yellow eyes, were they like glowing yellow?
Yeah. They were like a bright yellow. They were very round. I recall them being like massive, but it could have just been being so young, not having a good frame of reference for size.
Right.
If I were to give a guess, they were maybe like 1 inch in diameter.
Yeah, I guess there could have been an animal there, you know, reflecting light out of its eyes or something.
And with all these stories that I have, I don't claim to know any, like, what it is. It's right. Just I know I experienced it, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who knows? But
yeah, I mean, and that said, there's usually a reason these things stick with people, you know, more than like, you know, I saw a dog looking in the window or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I actually found out later, and that kind of ties into this. My mother has these stories that I need to kind of, you know, I wanted to write them down, but she's actually said that she's like fought sleep paralysis and fought like demons that have been coming after her like her entire life.
Oh, wow.
Which is, and I've heard her tell those stories growing up, and I was like, well, whatever. Not taking it seriously, but only recently did, whenever she brought it up again, you know, did I realize, I'm like, oh, this is something I'm interested in. I should ask her more about this, you know?
Yeah. When you started having sleep paralysis, did you speak to her about it and like have
Well, I don't really recall. The only time I brought up anything was, I remember having sleep paralysis, I think around like, maybe it was around 11 or 12. And I remember waking up like floating in the bed.
Oh, wow.
And like screaming and then like re-waking up. Now that it had all the hallmarks of like sleep paralysis where I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. But I recall the impact of like falling back onto the bed. And I remember I did tell my mother about that, and she got freaked out and told me I need to stop watching all the non-Christian movies that I was trying to watch. It's like, she took it seriously, but
yeah.
And then this one, I was running this one past my dad the other day. I can't believe he doesn't remember it, but I have I want to say it was around maybe 8 or 9. He had a tendency to like come in to my room around like 1 in the morning and wake me up to like watch a movie or just do something, you know, like hang out in the kitchen, disrupt my sleep. Just, I don't know. It was just something I think he found entertaining. I remember he woke me up one time and I saw this, this was in a separate room where, I was in my top, I was in a bunk bed and I was on the top bunk, and he woke me up, and on the opposite side of the room, there's a large window. It's maybe about 7 feet across, 6 or 7 feet across, by like, 3 feet tall. So it's a pretty large room. There's a pretty large window, and you can see out into our yard. We had a fairly big yard, and we lived in a valley. But I recall this light, this red light in the sky that was, I feel like it was blinking, but the size of it didn't make sense. It was as if, like, it was maybe, from my vantage point, it was like 6 inches across. Maybe that's too big. It was maybe like 3 inches across in diameter. And it was like this red reflector light that was blinking. And when I noticed it, I pointed it out to my dad, and he didn't see anything. I'm like, no, it's right there. And I remember getting out of the bunk bed and like walking to the window and noticing that it was actually kind of more up in the sky. And he never saw it. I thought he was playing a joke on me. You know, I thought maybe he had like a laser pointer or something, mm-hmm. but that doesn't track with like how big it was and like where it was located.
Right. Yeah.
And I brought it up to him recently. He doesn't remember that happening at all.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, that I brought it up, you know, like he doesn't recall that time of the light in the sky or that, you know, so.
It's a little strange when one person sees something, when one person doesn't, but we get it so often here that it's not unheard mm-hmm. of at all.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense that some see it and some don't, I guess.
It makes zero sense, but it happens.
No, you're right. It makes zero sense. Those are the only two, or the only few like memories I have as a kid of odd things. I was trying to like write everything down, and I know there's a few I'm missing. There was one time I was driving down, it's in my early 20s now, just driving towards my parents' house, and this happened so fast that I couldn't really react. Like, I didn't have an emotional reaction to this, but I saw like an apparition of a woman in the road just appear, and I drove through the apparition. And I saw its face come all the way up to my face.
Oh,
and like,
wow.
Beat me. And then but it happened so fast that I couldn't react to it. It just happened so quickly. And I was like, well, that happened. I'll catalog that as weird.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a weird one. That was definitely strange.
So did it have any particular look to it? Like, just kind of...
It almost looked like it was, like, I feel like I've seen it in a movie somewhere. It looks so, like, it, but yeah, it just looked like a... It looked like a young woman in kind of a white gown, mm-hmm. and it was just in the road, and it got closer as I drove through it. But the more shocking part was that the face became like more clear as it met with my face.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So when it was in the road, did you think a person was in the road, or
it just happened. It's like it appeared there. It's not like I turned a corner and it was just there.
Oh, okay. You were coming down the road and there's a figure in the road and you were headed towards it.
No, I was just, there was just open road right there and I'm just looking ahead at the road and it just appeared right there.
Oh, wow.
Maybe like 20 feet out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just drove through it and had no time to react. Oh, yeah. And then there's one more. That's right. With my teenage years. I don't know. I could chalk this one up to just being tired, but I was staying up late trying to get a project for high school done, and I procrastinated and was it was maybe about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm working in the kitchen in my parents' house, and out of the corner of my eye, it's a doorway in the kitchen, and that's to my right, and through that doorway is kind of a long living room, and I saw this what appeared to be a figure walk from, how do I describe it? It walked from one end of the room to the other. I'm trying to describe it spatially, I guess. So I saw this figure walking across the room, not towards me, but parallel with me, with the way I was facing, as if it was headed towards the door to exit the house. And it happened. I saw it once and looked over. Nothing was there. And went back to working on the project. And maybe 10 minutes later, I saw it again, going in the same direction. I was like, I'm just tired. But then I saw it a third time, but it had switched directions and walked from the front door of the house and then out towards the wall where there's nothing, like no way to exit, and then like through the wall.
Same house that where you saw everything else?
Yep, yep, same house.
And yeah. As much as you're comfortable, where is this? You can be as general as you want.
Oh, yeah. This is in, I'm from Pittsburgh. The house is in Cheswick, which is just maybe 25 minutes north of the city.
Okay.
It's a strange house, actually. It was built in three parts over the years, and it was a house that they actually, during Prohibition, they used it to make alcohol. Hmm. Their front was, it was a mushroom farm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's what, like, what they would make. Then there was like a laundromat service out of there, but it's tucked so, it's like tucked deep in the woods there that it just seems like no business would ever run out of there. But they were like, yeah, it's an odd house. The previous owner, his friends with my father, he actually told me a story about that house where there was a register or a heating duct.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, he recalls when he was young lifting up the heating duct and sticking his head down in there and seeing a face of fire rise up towards him.
Oh, wow. So these are like the big single register in the middle of the floor, that kind of thing?
Yeah, they were actually – so when he described it to me, I couldn't find the register he was talking about. Because our registers are like tucked on the side of the wall with like a, and it has like a metal grate over it, but it's like a 45 degree angle, and you lift that up and then you look down it and you can see the duct that traces alongside the wall.
Right.
And then down, you know. So I don't know which one he was referring to, but.
And some of the old houses, and you find this in Pennsylvania and not too many other places that I've been. I think Ohio has them. The older heating systems were just one big heat grate in the middle of the floor.
Oh, interesting.
And they might have changed the heating system to like a newer heating system by the time you moved in. And that might have been what he's talking about. I'm not sure. But they were definitely big enough to where you could take the grate off and stick your head down in there.
Yeah, yeah. The house is weird. It was three different houses mashed together over decades. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of history unto itself. Yeah, I'm glad I remembered that about my father's friend, the previous owner, because it seems like there may be something lingering around the house itself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you're getting older, does the sleep paralysis become more frequent?
Yeah, so I've had it so many times that they kind of all blend into one, you know, picking them all out. It definitely became more frequent through high school, and it was always just the becoming aware that I can't move. And it would always happen either when I'm waking up or just going to sleep. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night with sleep paralysis, but it was usually as I was mostly when I was drifting off into sleep or after I woke up and was just kind of snoozing, you know, trying to fall back into sleep is usually when it would happen.
Right.
And it was always, you can't move. That's the first thing that I would notice. And there was like this sense of foreboding and like dread and just the anxiety of not being able to move on top of that and the feeling of something else being there, like doing it to me, which is, I know, is very common for people that have sleep paralysis. I don't recall many entities being around, if any, whenever I was younger. Like in my teenage years, it was mainly just the fact that I was scared that I can't move, you know? And that would usually just taper off into a dream, and then I don't remember anything else. Or use every ounce of my being to like move, you know. And I'd like twitch a leg or something, and then I could move again.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I did notice a correlation between not getting good sleep and sleep paralysis coming on
frequently. There was a correlation there, yeah.
Yeah, throughout most of my 20s, but mainly in my early to mid-20s. There we go. Early to mid-20s. That is whenever it was at its height, where I was getting sleep paralysis like almost every night, and it would be multiple times. As I'm trying to fall asleep, I'd get it like five or six times in a row.
Wow.
And yeah, it got to the point where it wasn't like the novelty of it kind of wore off in the sense, like I knew it was going to happen, but every time it did, it still was terrifying. Mm-hmm. But it got to the point where I was like, okay, like what is going on? What is this? And I tried to do, I guess, some kind of experimentation with it, just kind of playing with it to see what would happen. And I think I said in the email that I had messed around with astral projection. So my boyfriend at the time handed me a book about astral projection. So I was reading through that, and he was talking about different techniques to try and project out of your body while mm-hmm. conscious. And I never was able to achieve that, but what I got from it was really great relaxation techniques and learning how to just be aware of every part of my body. And it's at the end of the day, it just seems like simple meditation, breathing techniques, and focusing on every part of your body until you have encapsulated your awareness around your entire body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in doing that, it just puts you in a nice deep state, and you can fall asleep. The entities, though, there's one time I remember falling into the sleep paralysis and being stuck, and I could like see. Actually, the awareness thing's important in how I tell the story, because when I'm in sleep paralysis, I know my head isn't moving, but I can see things around the room.
How? Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I try to put that together, and I'm like, how is that?
Mm-hmm. It is so odd.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can just become just aware of what is around you, and you can see the room that you're in from different perspectives, as if, you know, your eyeballs have been detached from you and are moving around, you know? I thought it was always cool because the room it's essentially the room I know, but it seems like it's illuminated from a light, from like no light source.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like I can't see the streetlight coming in or the moonlight or any, you know, it's just colors and light emanating from just random places.
See, that's when I had my thing with the entities, I was in an interior room that was pitch dark. Like you couldn't see a thing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that experience, there was enough light to see clearly what was going on. Not only that, but I was half turned on my side and I could see perfectly who was next to me or what was next to me, whatever those things were. So everything you're saying is checking boxes for me. I'm like, mm-hmm. yes, yes, yes. And I hadn't even thought about the light, honestly, until you said that. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I could see perfectly.
Yeah, how is that?
Yeah.
Explain that. Yeah, but I remember one time, so I was living in Troy Hill, which is just right, it's in the city limits, and I was living on the third floor. That's where my room was, and one of the entities that I would run into, I don't know if it was the same one or multiples. I remember being in the sleep paralysis and feeling like being aware of the room around me. And I think actually in this case, I could see out of like the left corner of my eye, the corner of the room. And it was very dark in that corner, even though I could see the rest of the room with this like light emanating from seemingly nowhere. Mm-hmm. But the corner of the room was very dark. And my eyes adjusted and I saw this black creature, kind of a humanoid looking creature, two arms and two legs, but it was too large for the room. So its hips were just maybe like a foot below where the wall and the ceiling meet in the corner of the room. And its body was scrunched up on the ceiling with its arms spread out, like kind of holding the room up in a way.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, my eyes adjusted. I could make out that, and then it could see it for what it was, this like black entity that's like too big for the room, and that freaked me out. And then I just told myself to move, you know. And I would usually like wiggle a toe, or like shift shoulders, you know, something. You'd try it a few times and nothing would work, and eventually it'd break the spell, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would have sleep paralysis, as soon as I could move, it was over. Like everything went back to normal instantly. There was no like lingering. So that entity, I don't know if it was the same, like I said, but I guess I'll lead into the main story. This was wild. This was the most intense one, the most intense sleep paralysis I've experienced.
But let me interrupt you before we move on from the.
Oh, go ahead. Sure.
The giant thing. Could you see any other details in it, or was it just black?
It was, I could, like it had. Okay, I got to use my descriptive words here. It had like a slim waist and kind of muscular thighs. I couldn't make out like muscle tone, but I could make out like the silhouette of muscle tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't make out really toes or fingers, but it had long feet. And its arms, I don't recall like what its fingers or hands were like. I just recall that I can make out that it was this tall, like, I guess slender kind of, like, mm-hmm. skinny entity. And it was almost, like, perfectly hidden in the shadow, in a sense. And until I, like I noticed the legs first, it kind of stood out from the shadow. The midsection, then the arms came into focus, and then I finally, like, got up to the head, which, I mean, it's just a standard oval-shaped head. But it was mostly, like, this silhouette of this gangly, large, oversized black thing.
So you couldn't see any details in the face?
No, no details in the face.
Eyes at all?
Nope, no eyes.
Just black head.
That, yeah, and that scared me more because it's like I don't know where, like, I know it can see me and I can see it, but I can't find its eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's,
yeah.
They're not there. That was kind of creepier
and
in some way.
You saw this entity more than once?
It's hard to say. I haven't seen that entity in that form.
Okay. All right.
Since, like, I haven't seen the oversized black creature
mm-hmm.
that can't fit the room ever again. Like, I haven't seen, you
okay.
know.
All right. So it's just, that one's very interesting to me. That's a real powerful image. Something standing in the corner and kind of spread out across the ceiling and trying to disguise itself as a shadow.
Kind of, yeah, that's a good way to put it, actually, yeah.
it's quite an image. Okay, sorry. So moving on to these more intense experiences, I suppose.
Where to begin? So we've established the sleep paralysis and the astral projection bit. I'll kind of go into what that entailed. I kind of briefly touched on it, but I would, while I'm laying in bed, just focus on my breathing and then ping or bounce or ping my awareness to my feet, then to my knees, then to my hands and my shoulders and my face, and just ping that, like, that awareness back and forth enough so that I don't notice the transition of me focusing on one part of my body or the other
mm-hmm.
to the point that I'm just aware of my entire body, and it becomes just a natural, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be aware of that. And that's important for later in the story. So I don't know what time it was, probably like 1 a.m. or so. Actually, this was a time where it wasn't me falling asleep or waking up, I just woke up in sleep paralysis.
Okay.
And so let's say it's 1 a.m. I don't recall the time, but I recall waking up and being in sleep paralysis. I can't move. And I have just the anxiety of not being able to move. And I'm like, this is kind of normal. But then I notice there's this dark, like, presence that's outside of the house. And it's on the street in front of our house. And I'm on the third floor now. So, like, this is down below. I don't see it necessarily. I just feel that it's out there. And the moment I feel that it's out there, it was, like, instantaneous. I was scared because if I acknowledged that I knew it was out there, it would know that I knew it was out there. But, you know, like, my fear betrayed me, and I had some kind of reaction to it being out there, and that I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that happened, that entity knew that, like, knew where I was and knew what I was, like, that I was stuck up there. And it started moving into the house and, like, making its way all the way up to me.
So we met in at Cryptid Bash in West Virginia. Did you tell me this story then?
I don't know if I told you this story. I may have briefly touched on it. I think I just said that I have experienced a lot of sleep paralysis.
Because it sounds so familiar. I'm wondering if somebody else didn't tell me a very similar story. Anyway, I remember someone telling me that they could sense the entity outside of their house. And as soon as they sort of made contact or it knew that they sensed it or something, it came in. So
mm-hmm. It may have been me. Yeah, that was we briefly met
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, this is cool. I listened to your podcast here, and I probably just said a bunch of stuff. Was just like,
yeah,
here's
maybe,
all these
maybe
things,
that
you know,
was
so.
It because it's ringing some bells. It's definitely like, oh, this sounds familiar.
Would you say it sounds strange familiar?
Strangely familiar, yes. So, I'm sorry, I interrupted you again. So this thing senses you sense it, in other words.
Yes.
Comes into the house. And do you know it's coming into the house? Like, do you sense that as well?
Yes. And that's where it gets weirder in what we mean by sense.
Okay.
So when it came into the house, as we talked about earlier, you can see in sleep paralysis, you can see different parts of the room, even though you're stationary. You can see things from different perspectives. But as soon as it kind of crossed the threshold of the front door, my awareness of the myself expanded to the entire house.
Wow.
Which is very strange. Like, it was an odd feeling. It's an understatement. I was like the house, if that makes sense. My awareness became the house.
That is really wild.
And I could feel the weight of it walking through the house, as if I was like the floorboards, and when it was like brushing up against the sides of walls, I could feel it brushing up against the sides of the walls.
Oh, wow.
And it was so strange. And once this kicked off, like once I could feel the house and feel it coming inside, there was this kind of oscillating frequency that started, like, that was like triggered. It was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And it started off like at about that pace, and as it moved closer to me, that sped up that frequency. It would whoa 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 whoa.
Oh, wow.
So it had to make it. It had to go up two flights of stairs. So it went. It got up the first flight of stairs, and then had to turn a 180, and then another 180, and go up the third flight of stairs to go up into the attic or the third floor where I was, and it was so strange witnessing it make its way up. Like I said, I could feel it its weight on the floorboards. I could feel it rubbing up against the walls. I could see it from different places in the house, different angles. But the only thing I can recall is its legs being just like black, dark legs with mm-hmm. no real detail. And so the visualization of it is so strange because it was so intertwined with just the feeling of it, the awareness that it was there. It's a bit hard to describe. But the new thing that I had never experienced this before up until this point is I could see what it saw. I could see through its perspective walking up the steps. And then that was a new thing. And that my awareness would kind of ping into its point of view, and then back to me, and then back to the house, to the weight of it walking up the stairs, to it brushing against the wall, back to its perspective, back to me being stuck in the room. And as this is happening, that like whoa 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 is speeding up, but my awareness is like also pinging in that rhythm across everything, like ding 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 ding, you know, just jumping around from it to the stairs to me, to the walls, to the floorboards. And it made its way up to the third set of stairs, and everything started speeding up. This pinging started really kind of spinning around, this awareness pinging. And it got to the third set of stairs, and it almost felt like an eternity. That's a little strong, but walking up those stairs, like I know how, it was like 11 stairs it had to walk up, but it seemed like that staircase lasted forever because it was like making its way up the staircase and it was getting faster and faster. But at the time I even like noted, like that's a long, it was almost comical, like how much longer the stairs were, like looking back on it. And as it got up to the top of the stairs, it had to pass through, I don't know if this is like a common Pittsburgh thing. I know I've seen this in other houses in Pittsburgh, but I had a roommate that lived in the room at the top of the stairs. But to get to my room, you have to pass through his room to get to mine, right? So it had made its way up to his room. And at that point, everything's like, whoa, 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 moving faster. Like our awarenesses are like oscillating back and forth very quickly to the point that they're almost like about to sync up. And I recall being aware of myself in the room, not being able to move. I could like see myself in the bed, And at the same time, I could see from its perspective moving towards the door that's separating us. So I could see the door from my perspective and the entity's perspective at the same time, which was strange. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he was moving at a super fast pace, and everything was oscillating very fast. And once he breached the door, it like swung open, and it like it. Oh man, it's still freaky to think about. So once it breached the door, then I saw everything from my perspective, and then this entity came at me. And as soon as it made contact with me, I felt like hands pushing down on my body, like all over my body, just like holding me down, like handprints or like, you know, hands, like palms, mm-hmm. just like pushing all over my limbs. And then the sounds I heard, was it like that oscillating disappeared, and I heard this... like a combination of sounds. The closest thing I can describe it to is, do you remember the Power Rangers show from the early 90s?
Oh, I didn't see much of it. I've been too old for that. But yeah. I remember it was on. I think my nephews watched it. I probably saw some episodes with them.
So there is there are these like creatures on there. They call them putties. They're these like gray henchmen. And they make this sound like... Okay. Right? That's what I heard in my... like right up... in my ears, like something was like these things were making this noise, and I heard and felt that same feeling that I did when I saw those yellow eyes as a kid, which is like the sound of nails on a chalkboard, but it was like resonating through my body. Mm-hmm. And I felt like as if my skin was like ripped off, like I was totally exposed and these things are pressing down on me. And yeah, and so I was freaked out. Then it was over, basically. I'd like forced myself to move, and then it was like nothing happened.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Do you remember anything more about the way this thing looked once it got to you?
No, I have like no clear memory of like its form or its shape. I just remember its legs and its maybe its feet mm-hmm. pressing down on the floorboards. But yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have a good memory of what it looked like.
Oh, that's fine.
It was just like a weird awareness of it. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm describing this well.
Well, I mean, it sounds intense, so...
I'm replaying it right now. I'm just like, geez, it's just... It was very intense.
Yeah, you're getting the intensity across, at least for me. So.
Cool. That was it, as far as that experience went. I was just so floored by the... being able to feel the house and my awareness jumping from myself to the entity.
Right.
Seeing it from its eyes.
Yeah.
Which was just odd. And it, like, ramped up. It's just the pace of it going from like, whoa, 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 you know, and then we like met at a like fever pitch. Mm-hmm.
At the time, where do you file that away? Do you just go, oh, that's another sleep paralysis thing? Or do you go, oh, something more is going on here?
Well, I would, I think I file that as just another sleep paralysis episode. Mm-hmm. The most intense one for me. I mean, it was the most out there. It was the most, yeah. It was the most unique of the sleep paralysis that I've had. So yeah, how would I categorize that? I wouldn't say it's other. It's not other in the sense that it's like separate from sleep paralysis. I think it's still an experience that's contained in sleep paralysis.
Yeah. It's certainly woven in with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I've had other sleep paralysis that's less with entities, but more just me trying to get out of sleep paralysis. I've like crawled out of my body in sleep paralysis, and like my fiance, she's aware of my sleep paralysis, and she'll like, she knows the telltale signs of when I'm stuck, and she'll like move my leg or like, try and shake me out of it. But there have been times early on in our relationship where I'd be in sleep paralysis and like screaming at her to wake me up, like, shake me, come on, get me up. And she's like totally unaffected sitting there, and I can see her awake sitting there, like not doing anything.
Wow.
But there were times where like I crawled out of my body, like at least the top half of my body sat up, and I'm like pushing myself against the wall. That's right. The bed's up against the wall, and I'm like pushing my body against the wall to try and like get myself out of my body to wake myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eventually, I don't say wake myself up, but like be able to move. Cause it's different than being asleep, you know, but just getting myself to move. And I can see her watching TV or reading a book or something. And I'm like trying to get her to wake me up.
Huh.
And then I come to, and I'm just laying in that just a regular position, you know, and that almost seems stranger to me than the entity coming in, because I'm like actively crawling out of my body somewhere or somehow, and it feels so real. And then I snap out of it, and I'm still just laying down.
Yeah.
And I grill her. I'm like, did I say anything? Did I move? Like what? And she's like, nope, you went, he's made groaning noises.
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so uneventful from your side of it.
My wife wakes me up when I start making those noises, which I'm happy for.
Yeah. Yes. It's helpful.
So you're still getting sleep paralysis today?
Yeah, I still get it. The last time I had it, I was laying down on the couch. That's another place I seem to get it. I just remembered another entity. Wow. Thank God.
Bring it.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, okay. 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 So I was staying at a friend's house. This is in my early 20s. And I was sleeping on his couch in his basement. That's another place I would get it a lot, is couches. Or if I was sleeping somewhere I wasn't used to,
mm-hmm.
I'd definitely get it in those conditions. And I remember laying on his couch, and it's in the basement. There's like, you know, maybe a nightlight or some light in the laundry room that's on, and like some clock light. I remember laying there and becoming aware that I'm in sleep paralysis and I'm not able to move. And I could see the room around me, but only from my perspective. This wasn't like, my awareness is floating around or anything. My point of view was stuck to where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking up at the ceiling, and out of the corner of my eye, I can see the rest of the basement. And I saw, maybe this all was the same entity, but I saw a large black entity that was just as tall as the room would allow it. Like its head was up at the ceiling, and it was like looming over me. And I remember like shifting my eyes over, looking over it to it through the corner of my eyes, and seeing it and just being terrified and just staring at it. And then I snapped out of it. But this time around, when I came out of it, my eyes were actually open. And what was so weird was the room at the time had that mystery illumination that we had spoken about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was coming out of the sleep paralysis, the room took on, I don't know if you've taken any like psychedelics in your life or, but the room took on this very psychedelic look, where the walls were bending,
mm-hmm.
and there was colors and weird swirls. It phased into this, what I would liken to being on acid or mushrooms or something.
Yeah.
It phased into that, and then morphed into just the way the basement was,
mm-hmm.
as it exists currently. So that was a weird one, because my eyes were open for that. Like I don't recall opening my eyes after that. They were already open.
So as the room is sort of melding or transforming,
yeah.
You know, the entity is gone at that point though?
Yeah, it's as soon as I was afraid of it and I saw it was there and it saw me, I had a moment of panic. I was like, what do I do with this? And then the room started shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it started morphing or melding back into normal state. And as it started shifting, the entity shifted away with it.
And no details in this entity either, just a black form.
Just a black form, yeah. But I mentioned that I had it so frequently, the sleep paralysis, that I would try and experiment with it. I was like maybe 24. I would get off of work. And at the time, I was in a band. We were playing shows. I was staying up. My sleep schedule was all out of whack. I would get home from work in the afternoon, like 5. And I'd go up to my room, and I had a tendency to just lay on my floor and then take a nap and just fall asleep. And there was one time where I was laying on the floor and I started falling into sleep paralysis, and it kept happening, and I would shake myself out of it. There was no entity or anything. It just kept happening maybe 5 or 6 times over. So while it was happening, I was like, well, okay, I'm going to play around with it. So I kept my eyes open as much as I could, and I would fall into the sleep paralysis with my eyes open, and my perspective of the room would shift. And go into this weird, like kind of like that weird psychedelic state that I described earlier. And it would happen. It was so cool, actually. It would, when I drop into the sleep paralysis, it would only last for maybe a second, but it would happen kind of over and over again. So it would kind of pulse like with that frequency from my previous experience, where it would drop in. And my roommate at the time, who lived in that, the room I had to go through to get to mine, he was making music, and I could hear his, I could hear his music, and I was staring at the ceiling fan that was spinning. And when I would drop into the sleep paralysis, the fan would just be like, whoa, 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 whoa. But when I would drop into it, it would go like, whoa, 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 whoa. It would have this very intense noise. And then his music that he was like mixing at the time would also shift into this like just distortion. So you could say that the sound I was hearing was distorted, and what I was taking in visually was also distorted. That was really cool. That wasn't so scary. That was more just like, whoa, this is interesting.
Yeah. You know? I think, you know, what you described before, you know, trying to go out of body, whether you had any success with it or not, though, and those general meditative techniques might help with sort of discerning that you are in sleep paralysis, and you know, this is going on. Whereas for me, and it's the same thing with my dreams. I was just like, I don't know whether I'm just a naive or credulous or just, you know, ready to believe, but something happens in the dream. You know, I'm in a dream, and like weird dream things happen. Like, you know, I don't know, there's a basement on an airplane or something, you know, like, or, you know, I'm on a train and I step off and into the kitchen or something, you know, into the kitchen at my house. And I'm just taking it in stride. It's like, oh yeah, that's okay. You know, my wife is always like, no, that's how you know you're dreaming, when those things happen. And then she can go, you know, she can do lucid dreaming and stuff. I've never been able to. And I've always thought like, well, it's just because I'm ready to believe anything. Whenever I'm in a dream, whatever's happening, I'm just like, okay, this is happening. You know, oh yeah, Bigfoot's sleeping in my sister's room. Okay.
Of course. Why not believe it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it would serve me better to be more incredulous or not. I'm not sure.
It's weird. I've had lucid dreams only a handful of times. And I tried like techniques where during your waking life, during the day, you just look at your hands and you confirm that they are your hands and that you can move them. I read somewhere that letters and numbers in dreams tend to not make sense. So if you're in a dream and you happen to be writing something down and the letters don't make sense, that can be a way to trigger you into knowing that you're sleeping. And that happened to me where I was washing my hands in my dream and the water was like going through my hands. I'm like, that's not right. And then I immediately was like, oh, okay, this is a dream. And what was actually hard was to keep that focus, because I was like, okay, I'm dreaming. I look at my surroundings. I don't remember what the dream was. I was just in a building or something. And I'm like, okay, what do I do next? And I'm like, I'll jump up in the air and try and stay floating. I'll do that, and it kind of works. But then the dream itself takes over, and I get, you know, I go back into believing what I see, you know. That's cool. So she can – does she do that often?
I don't know how often she does it, but she said she – when she can tell she's dreaming, you know, she can lucid dream. She usually chooses to fly, I think she says.
I used to have I still do have a recurring dream where I'm usually walking with some friends, walking down the sidewalk, and I jump up in the air and I'm suspended maybe 6 feet in the air for you know, half a second, and then I land, and I'm like, oh, I keep forgetting I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And then I can jump progressively higher and higher, and I'm suspended in the air longer and longer, and then I'm jumping over buildings. That's always, yeah, that's just a dream, just a reoccurring dream, but they are fun.
So what is your general perspective on sleep paralysis? Is it just a side effect of sleep, or do you think there's something other, capital O, other, kind of invading or messing around with us?
I'm so agnostic on it.
Yeah.
I kind of like not trying to take a stance on what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
fair.
I have read about sleep paralysis, I guess, from the scientific side of things, where it's when your body goes into REM sleep, your body will shut down and you won't, I think it paralyzes itself, so you don't act out your dreams in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
And people who are sleepwalkers, mm-hmm. they walk in their sleep, that part of their brain is not functioning, so they end up acting out their dreams, and they, you know, can be dangerous to them. And so from that side of it, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, and if at the times when I was really sleep deprived, or my sleep schedule was not, like, you know, was not what it should be, I would think that I was falling into REM sleep instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just pass over the whole fading into sleep and go right into REM sleep, which is that deep dream state. And so, but it would happen so fast that I was still awake for it.
Yeah.
You know, so that explanation, that makes sense to me, but also it's not a totally satisfactory explanation, because it's so wild what you can experience mm-hmm. in sleep paralysis that I'm, you know, it's maybe it's the other coming in and invading, and it notices you and just wants to see what's up, or the human brain is just so powerful it can imagine whatever it wants, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and it could be a handful of both, you know.
Or a handful of both, yeah. Doesn't have to be either or. I don't know. I remain agnostic about it.
My only feeling on it not being dreams is, and, you know, this comes after me saying how ready I am to believe in dreams, but at the same time, like, there's a different feeling to dreams than there is to sleep paralysis experience.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I do think they are separate. Like, I don't think the normal dream, when you're normally dreaming, you don't know you're dreaming. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then sleep paralysis, the fact you're aware, either you're awake for the show when you're not supposed to be, or whatever. It's definitely a completely different feeling. It feels very real.
I've described it as like realer than real, or
yep.
you know, more awake than awake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's odd.
The realer than real. I like that. I've heard you bring that up in a lot of your shows. Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. When I saw those eyes, those yellow eyes in the window, that felt realer than real.
Mm-hmm.
Because the memory, like, sticks with me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. So I don't think they're the same as dreams. Definitely not. Like I said, I remain agnostic about it.
That's totally fair. You know, and I've had people tell me, like, look, you know, sleep paralysis is so common. The fact that you have so many guests that have had paranormal experiences and also sleep paralysis is, there's, you know, you can't really make a correlation of that, but boy, the number of people who have had something paranormal happen who also have sleep paralysis is,
mm-hmm.
is incredibly high.
Yeah.
It's hard for me not to see a connection there. Why or what? I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. but I just feel like there's a connection there. Like, if I was had to weigh in on my own, I would say it's something other. In the same way that when people have out-of-body experiences, they say, like, it's like all of a sudden these other things can just, they're just aware of them. And I think it's very similar to that. Like,
mm-hmm.
when you go into sleep paralysis, these other things are like, oh, hey, there's somebody I can go visit or mess with or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to entertain that side of it. If I was going to lean into one side, I do like the idea. It definitely feels like that, where it's like, oh, I'm now open into whatever this plane of existence or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and there's just other beings out there doing their thing, and they're like, you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it plays into it where that there's something so powerful about the recognizing that something else is there, and it the moment you recognize it, it recognizes you.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a transfer of knowledge or something,
mm-hmm.
That's like the key. It's like you have to recognize it, and then it knows exactly where you are and can get right to you. You know?
Yeah.
But as we're talking, I'm remembering other things. My fiance, she actually grew up in York, and when we, my old roommate, he actually turned me onto your podcast, and right, it was early on, whenever you were had your first couple episodes about Site 7,
mm-hmm.
and my roommate was describing the episode to me, and my fiance, my girlfriend at the time, fiance now, she like just heard the context clues of like where it was, and she's like, I think I know where a lot of these places are that he's describing, because she like, grew up in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, I think we could figure out where Site 7 is. I'm like, yeah, but he said don't go there.
The local people have figured it out from clues.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a couple reasons. You know, it's not public land. Mm-hmm. Toad Road now is a state park, so...
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so people can go visit that. So, you know, I used to warn people off of that, but that's a state park now, so go ahead. Mm-hmm. Although there's parts of it you got to be careful. It's fair game now, or at least most of it. But it's private property, so there's that. But there's also mm-hmm. one feature, which I can't get into detail about because it would give it right away, that makes it particularly dangerous. I would feel awful if somebody went out there at night and hurt or killed themselves.
Yeah.
Not be a good thing for me. So that's the other reason I kind of like those two reasons. Like, I'll just, you know, kind of give it a code name for now.
No, that makes it's being responsible. That's good. But she's had experiences at the house she grew up in. I don't recall them at the moment, but she said that she's had just odd experiences with like a ghost or an entity or something that's in the house. And she thinks that it followed us here to our house. Now, whether or not it's the same entity or not, we've had like a decent amount of poltergeist activity in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually – there was one time where some cupboards were open. No one copped to opening up all the cupboards, you know. Mm-hmm. That could have been a prank, whatever. But we've all heard – there's three of us that live in the house right now, and we've all heard at various times, either we're all together or at separate times, something crashing in the house, something very loud. And it sounds like it's coming from like the second floor, like glass, like a shelf falling over mm-hmm. with just tons of knickknacks and books in it. It sounds like it falls over on this in the second floor while we're on the first floor. And every time it happens, we run around the whole house to find something that's falling over, and nothing has fallen over. Maybe that's not technically poltergeist because it's we see nothing physically upset, but we hear it.
No, yeah, we get things like that. I mean, we get reports of things like that a lot, yeah.
So that happens, I want to say maybe once a year that'll happen, maybe twice a year. And it's just, we're not really freaked out about it. It's just like, yeah, that happened, you know. Maybe something fell this time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once it happened a few times over, that's my fiance, that's when she was like, I'm pretty sure this is the same thing that I grew up with.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, one of my theories is that houses aren't necessarily haunted, but people are.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd buy that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for sure.
I mean, houses can be also, but I think sometimes it's the people that are haunted. When I talk to somebody and they're like, yeah, I had something happen in this house, and then I moved, and I had something happen in that house. And that house was haunted too, and then I moved in this apartment was haunted. And now I moved in this place, and that's haunted. I'm like, well, maybe it's not these places that are haunted. Maybe it's you, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever considered that?
Yeah, I mean, the common denominator is often.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Look in the mirror. No, don't look in the mirror. But yeah, had fair share of just weird experiences. I actually listen a lot to, I listen to the Sasquatch Chronicles quite mm-hmm. a bit. I just love those stories so much.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating.
Such a great show. Yeah.
And I love that it goes from the like flesh and blood realm, those stories, to like just the totally out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it enough that I've been meaning to go out to different places just to record things, just to get some audio recordings. And the only place I made it out to was this my fiance's uncle. He owns this little mountain in West Virginia. And he's just mentioned to her that I think she mentioned to him that I'm interested in this kind of stuff. And then he told her that he's had some odd things happen. He's heard like wood knocks and I don't know if he's heard whoops, but he's heard definitely wood knocks and just strange occurrences on his land. So we went out there, I want to say sometime last year, last fall, and just camped up on his hill on the top of the mountain. It's pretty out there. I set up my recorder and just got like owls and coyotes, nothing that wasn't identifiable.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still just a fun camping trip. But before I left, there was I brought this massive tiger's eye rock that was polished. I got it at some flea market. It's the biggest tiger's eye I've ever seen. But I left that there. I guess that's gifting,
mm-hmm.
just to see what would happen. And then we hadn't made it back there in a while. We have yet to go back, actually, since then. But not too long ago, maybe it was maybe like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, he called us telling us that he saw this white light that was coming from his mountain in the woods there, and it was just sitting in the woods, like well down below the tops of the trees. And from where he described it, it sounds very similar to where I left that rock. I have yet to confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make a trip out there and just hang out with him. But he said that the whole time that light was hanging out there, the automatic porch lights were on for the duration that light was there. You know, the motion sensor lights.
Oh, neat. That's interesting.
The motion sensor lights were just on the whole time. And he says they just stayed on the entire time while this white light was just stationary up in the mountain there, just illuminating the area. And he took a few photos of it. And I was like, okay, send me a photo. And he sent me a photo that he zoomed in all the way that I just saw some pixels.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't make heads or tail of this. Like,
that's, you know? It's the same thing with those lights at Site 7. I photographed them several times and they're so unimpressive. I stopped even doing that. Cause it's just like, they just look like little lights in the, you can't tell anything.
Yeah, it's like, it's so less impressive.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, is that it? Yeah, it's like,
well, exactly.
You had to
be
there. No, you had to see it.
So we have to make a trip out there and see.
I mean, sometimes it takes, you know, multiple visits before anything goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Gifting is, I've found, an incredibly effective way to kick things off. I always tell people don't gift food.
Yeah.
But, you know, natural things. I don't do plastic and stuff either. You know,
like
stuff that's, you know, environmentally sound and not food, like you did. A stone is perfect, things like that. And you'd be amazed that it gets results, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Well, Kenny, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. Keep in touch. If any more giant shadows hang out in your corner, let us know.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
We've got no curiosity of the week this week, but I do want to remind everybody to check out our Etsy shop. Our shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars at Etsy, you should see our stuff come up. Over at Etsy, we have all of my books. We've got Strange Familiars t-shirts, glow-in-the-dark and regular, Strange Familiars patches, stickers, artwork, originals, and prints. Allison has antique photographs up there. We've got plenty of our curiosities of the week from previous weeks and much more. Go ahead and check it out. There's always a link in the show notes to our Etsy shop. But again, if you go to Etsy, our shop name is Lost Grave, or just type in Strange Familiars. And I want to remind everybody about The Flowered Path. It's an additional podcast I do about saints, miracles, and mystics. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. If you could give us a like and a follow, subscribe on YouTube and everywhere else you listen, that would help out that new venture as well. All right, that's it for this week. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook. facebook.com/strangefamiliars. There's a Facebook group there, the Strange Familiars Gathering Group. You can join that there. We are on Instagram at Strange Familiars, and you can find us on the web at strangefamiliars.com.
I have a golden cage at home that I would give.